Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall, up early to start your day with Chicago sports talk.
I got to tell you, I'm absolutely loving it right now.
Oh, my God. My God.
Time to catch you up on this morning's show so far.
This is for you.
Let's go.
Matt Nagy and the Bears, first time since 2006. Start with three straight road wins. They went to the Super Bowl that season. So Chicago now 5-1.
I just felt like that was the game we were going to see. That's a team that does not score in the red zone. And obviously you got a team in the Bears that doesn't allow touchdowns in the red zone. So, you know, they needed an officiating call to get their lone touchdown. The Bears held them in check. That was pretty well done by the defense. They couldn't convert on third down all year, and the Bears didn't let them because the Bears don't let people convert their third down. So I think there were a lot of elements of that game that played out in a really kind of easy-to-determine way. And frankly, as I'm checking Bet Rivers, I was surprised that the line opened at what it did and closed at what it did, and that there wasn't more support for the Bears.
Mike Mulligan.
He's fearless, he's observant, and has great emotional intelligence.
David Hall.
He's a winner, he's intelligent, he's innovative, he has strong character.
What I hate talking about all this time is that our defense played lights out today, you know? And that's where, like, I don't know, I understand we want to look at all the negatives and stuff, but really, guys, I mean, what's pretty cool is that our defense played lights out today.
When he talks anymore, it's very difficult to put much stock in it because he talked about focusing on the freaking details, and then they come out yesterday, and it was really kind of a sloppy approach to the game. So let's pay attention to what the Bears do more than what the coach says. I am more surprised that the offense remains lackluster. I thought by now, when you make the quarterback change, when you have the guy who, in theory, as we've been discussing, is the ideal pilot for this plane and this scheme, then you would see more progress. The fact that they're winning anyway is a credit to that defense, which, if we start to list, maybe we can do this later, the top five units in the NFL, offense or defense, I think the Bears' defense is on that list.
Mully and Hall on 670 The Score.
Let's freaking go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's fun to have a victory Monday, and what a meaty one. What a victory Monday with so much to go over. Great to talk to Olin about it, and I thought his response was excellent. I really enjoyed hearing him kind of break down the offense for us.
Well, he speaks from experience. That we laughed about it, but it's so true. He's been on a lot of teams. This is a Bears tradition. It's having a defense that is Super Bowl caliber and having an offense that has a difficult time moving the chains and getting into the end zone. And that's look, we'd all rather be talking about this with the Bears 5-1 rather than 1-5. And so it does seem like, you know, it's another Monday morning where you're evaluating the value of a victory that kind of had a lot of flaws, but they won anyway. The Bears are winning ugly, but they're sitting pretty. And I guess it bears remembering that because of the Packers lost, the Bears are in first, they have flaws that are correctable, most of them, and they have a defense that is very, very good.
And that is a lot to hold up, and that is a wondrous thing. And I guess when we look at Matt Nagy as head coach, you've got to appreciate the fact that he is leaving the defense alone, that he does let the defensive coordinator, you know, first it was Vic Fangio, now it is Chuck Pagano. He lets them do what they do. And the Bears are damn good as a result of those defenses. But, and there is a but, I think that it's got to be hugely frustrating for Matt Nagy and his scheme. He believes so much in his scheme. He thinks that the big plays are there, and they can't seem to get them. The lack of explosive plays, you know, I mean, as in a very fundamental way, the lack of a running game is fairly inexplicable. You've got to be able to run the football, and you've got to look at why you can't. But you add to that the fact that they can't get explosive plays means they're not scoring touchdowns. The whole point of what he's doing is to score touchdowns, and they just can't put points up. Now, if you felt that that was all by design, that they were working to sort of eat clock and help the defense and all, but they're not. They are out there trying to score points at every play is supposed to be dangerous, David, and none of them seem to be.
The Bears are kind of like a family living paycheck to paycheck, and you do what you can and week to week to kind of survive. And that's really maybe how you get to be 5-1, and maybe you can get to the playoffs that way. But there's a fine line between getting to the playoffs and winning a championship. The Bears aren't a team that you look at and that you think they could win a championship, like the Chiefs, like, you know, maybe the Packers, like teams that have. And we'll have to look closer at some of those examples because I think the Packers got it handed to them yesterday. But the point is that, you know, what you're getting at, and I think that's the deeper issue that's so troubling with the Bears, even though they're 5-1. They don't have an offense that's compatible with the defense, and they don't have an approach that is consistent with having a unit that, you know, is as good as the defense is. The Bears are old-fashioned in that defense and special teams matter as much as right. They do. But they don't have an old-fashioned approach to offense. They still have this kind of waiting for the big explosive plays, the wanting to be the 30-point-a-game outfit and getting too cute on occasion, on too many occasions. So that's a challenge. And I don't know how you fix that in a week. I don't know if you can really approach that until you're ready to from your coach's perspective.
Oh, we're going to get to the phone lines, 312-644-6767. But I just wanted to run one thing by you. When we talk about Carolina and what they had done, and they were, you know, winning, they had won three straight games. And the way they won those games, they scored 20 points in the first half, minimum 20 in all three of those games. And then they face a Bears defense, and they're you know, in trouble because that's a really good defense. And they pressure the quarterback, and it really took away a lot from some of those explosive plays that they have shown. But when you think about what they've done, I heard Jim yesterday talk about the island of misfit toys. They have a lot of guys. Christian McCaffrey's down. They have a lot of guys that have come from different places that they relied upon to make plays for them, and they've done it because they have a scheme that seems to be larger, better than the talent within it, if that makes any sense. Why aren't we seeing that from this scheme? Why aren't we seeing is because they don't have the players with explosive talent? I thought Olin made a great point when you look at the drafts.
Well, you saw it in 2018. You did. I mean, you saw it when you had that. That's when the scheme was working because I think there were certain things you could count on. You could count on your offensive line, you know, doing more things and performing at a higher level than you have any reason to expect this year because it's just not happening, Molly. And I think that's one of the things. Then you have the lack of playmakers and consistency from the second playmaker position where after Allen Robinson, who is that guy dependably that you can count on? Nobody. So, yeah, the Panthers are finding their way because they're relying heavily on a scheme that they're outsmarting some people and Teddy Bridgewater knows what to do with the football and these kind of things, and they're doing it without McCaffrey. But you've seen that work with the Bears is just people caught up to the Bears and they never adjusted. People will catch up to the Panthers and then we'll see how they counter. But so far, early in the season, you know, the Panthers had reason to believe they could move the football on the Bears. Credit to the Bears that they weren't able to do that.
Let's get to Don. Don is on the west side. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Hey, Don.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good.
Okay, yeah. I just had a couple comments. First, I want to address, you know, the late game play calling. I think Matt Nagy, he probably needs to do better before they end up burning us. You know, he is. I don't think he should have been passing that ball. He should have probably made them use that timeout, run some more clock. As far as our team being 5-1 and not getting any respect, you know, I understand that. You know, I understand that the offense isn't where it needs to be. But I'm hearing all these national broadcasters talking about talent and how talented these teams are, and the Bears are the worst team. Well, you know what? It's crazy that we're beating these talented teams, you know, even with a terrible offense. So just imagine if we were clicking. Green Bay played a team in Tampa Bay and got destroyed.
Yeah.
That we made a game the whole all of last prime time last Thursday. Now, I bring that up because people want to say, well, okay, Chris Godwin was out. Well, how much of an impact did Chris Godwin have on that Packer game? Mike Evans, how much impact did Mike Evans have on that Packer game? It was all Gronk, Tom Brady, and that defense. And it gave Rodgers trouble. And our defense, to me, if not is equal to Tampa Bay, it's probably a little bit better as far as pressure-wise. So pressure always, you know, disrupts things. Now, I'm not prognosticating that we're going to beat the Packers or nothing, but, I mean, you know, they deserve a little respect. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I had to say this Monday morning. I appreciate you guys taking my call. All right, thank you.
All right, thanks, Don. God bless you.
Thanks, Don. Yeah, you know, the Bears' defense is better than Tampa, and the Bears' defense is as good as any in the NFL. I mean, the Ravens are playing at a high level. The Bears are playing at a high level. They're intimidating again. So I think that you look around, are they better than the Packers? You know, that's going to be a great game. It's a great head-to-head matchup that we can anticipate. Right now it's too early to say.
David, are you at all amused by the idea that Matt Nagy talked about, we got to get calibrated, we're not calibrated, and then he came back and he's freaking details. He's mad about what's going on. And then yesterday, we'll see what he has to say after he watches the tape of the game. But yesterday it was like, hey, can't we just talk about the defense? Must we get into the offense again?
He's searching, Molly. He's searching for the some direction to go, something to latch onto. And I don't feel necessarily sympathy for him, but I do understand how frustrating it must be to, you know, we give the head coach of the Bears the scrutiny that is appropriate. But I think that when you look at what they're not doing offensively, you know, when you, everything starts up front. It's like trying to get, you know, everything starts with that engine. And if it's not turning over, you can't get to work. You know, it doesn't matter what you do. Your car's not going to start. And that offensive line is the engine of that offense. And it's not functioning at a very high level at all. So, yeah, he's going to be grasping a little bit. You're going to get a lot of word salad. But I just don't know. I just don't know what it will be this week. We'll find out. We'll find out, because he's going to come up with some theme and he'll probably stick to it, because he'll try to probably focus on the fact they are still in first place.
Let's try Werner. He's in Love's Park. Good morning, Werner.
Good morning. How you doing, boys?
Good.
Great.
Happy Victory Monday.
It is a happy day.
You know, I was trying to think of an analogy to use, and I like the engine problem. We got a misfiring engine, and we keep adding new rims and new stereo and whatnot, but we don't deal with the underlying problem. And that's the fact that we got, it seems like almost every single play, somebody misses a block. I'm telling you, every single play, someone is missing a block. You got Speed Bump Charlie, that low energy SOB. I can't tell you how many times he's just standing there. I don't get it.
Are you talking about high school Charles Leno Jr.?
And if I did that, my coach would put my ass on the bench.
Oh. Speed Bump Charlie.
Who's Speed Bump Charlie?
It's got to be Chuck Leno, right?
Oh, Leno.
Yeah.
And then you got the usher on the other side, Massey.
The usher?
Are you kidding me?
That's great. Let me see that thong.
Oh,
you didn't mean
funny.
It that way. All right, way to go.
Thanks, Werner.
That's hysterical.
Mr. 312.
312-644-6767. Do you put it all on the speed bump and the usher?
Is low that, energy, Charles. Sad.
Low energy SOB, I think, is what he said. It was worse, if that's possible. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670.
We could care less about pretty. We just want to be able to win games, and I think that's the focus for us right now is that. And we know when you have good guys that care about how to win games and how to fix problems that we have, I mean, there's more patience than others. So we'll be good there, and we'll get this thing fixed. And hey, to win and be 5-1 is pretty good.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. That is the voice of Matt Nagy. That's this morning. He was on WBBM with our buddy Josh Liss, and that is a fresh cut about celebrating what you have. And goodness gracious, David, we need to do that a little bit because what the Bears have is exceptional on the defensive side of the football. And, you know, they're going to play the Rams. We're going to see Aaron Donald. We're going to see the guy that is the presumptive sort of annual defensive player of the year. And I know a lot of people in Chicago want that to be Khalil Mack, but it's Aaron Donald. He's the man and he's the guy and he's probably the best defensive player in football. And you got to deal with him this coming weekend. But boy, you know, when you look at the entirety of that Bears defense, if I'm the Rams, I'm a little bit worried about how you're going to get the job done.
Without a doubt, that's why Matt Nagy woke up this morning in a good mood. You know, he's 5-1, and we can talk about how it's winning ugly, and absolutely all those things are true. But publicly, he's going to put that face on it because he can and he should. That is the way you want people to look at it. Internally, I guarantee you that they're having the same kind of conversation that we're talking about this morning. What's wrong with this picture? How can we get better here? How can we get better there? All of it matters because the defense gives you a chance to make this year special. And to me, yesterday, flaws and all, that was the most important conclusion that came out of that game, was that this defense, for the third week in a row, held an opponent in the teens, is taking the football away like it did in 2018. They got three of them yesterday, and has this sort of intimidating swagger that makes it look special and makes it look different and gives you hope that they have, you know, they've upgraded a very good defense to a potentially great defense. And there are some reasons why, but yesterday they showed us again why Matt Nagy has every reason to feel good about the direction of this team because of that defense.
Are they getting better?
I think so. You know, I think that they're better than last year in a couple different areas so far. Again, six games in, things can change. We've seen them that happen. I think they have more depth in the secondary. You look at the safety tandem of Gibson and Eddie Jackson, they're getting more out of those two guys than you did with HaHa Clinton Dix and Eddie Jackson. Their corners seem to be more aggressive. Kyle Fuller's coming into his own, one of the best physical cornerbacks in the NFL. Jalen Johnson, better than expected as a rookie. Buster Screen's holding up the end as a nickel. Mully, and then the depth inside. I thought, we both kind of talked about Eddie Goldman being gone. How are they going to fill that void? They haven't done it with one guy. They've done it with several, and you're getting Khalil Mack and Akeem Hicks to be who they are. Linebackers are improving. Roquan Smith all over the place. That's a really good unit.
Yeah, I do think that there. Do you think Chuck Pagano is getting to figure out this unit more, getting to try different things? Again, to me, the fact that you can create that pass rush with the front four means everything. When you can do that on a defense, when you have a defensive line, you're going to have a good defense because it's going to allow you all sorts of options in terms of, you know, you don't have to blitz to get pressure. And I think that is huge for the Bears. And you're right. They're getting contributions all over the place from guys that you normally, you know, wouldn't even think about. That defensive line is coming at you in waves because you got the three stalwarts in there that are creating havoc.
And Mully, last year when we talked about that, something that was missing from that defense, I think that we attributed some of it to the fact, okay, they're adjusting to life without Vic Fangio, and there's going to be a little bit of a drop-off, and there was. So I do wonder if it's appropriate now that they seem to have taken another step in the right direction. You know, Chuck Pagano probably had to get used to this group as much as the group had to get used to Chuck Pagano. And your point about getting to the quarterback with four is a good one, because when you can do that consistently, it makes your defense different. It also makes the occasions when you do choose to blitz more pronounced and dangerous, because when they come after the quarterback with five guys, when they send a linebacker off the edge or wherever Roquan Smith's coming from, it makes it that much more impactful. So he's picking his spots, they're choosing them well, and they're making them pay.
And where did Roquan come from? He came from the draft. That makes him sort of one of the exceptions to the rule. You know, you look at, you know, Kyle Fuller was drafted here, but not by pace. It's certainly Eddie Jackson is one of the great success stories. And Roquan, for a first-round pick, to have a Bears first-round pick step up and be a good player, sadly, that is the exception, not the rule. Let's get out to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Sam is from Northlake. And, Sam, you are on with Mully and Hall.
Good morning, Sam.
You know, the best part of waking up is listening to you guys on the Bears win Monday. But now here's my question. It's a comparison from 1985 to now. So, 85, we had Jim McMahon and Steve Fuller, right? So, now we got, you know, the new Jim McMahon, which is Nick Foles and Trubisky. So, now could we still – be 5-1 with either of those quarterbacks playing? That's my question.
That's an interesting question. I don't think they would be 5-1 with Mitch. I just think that while not getting carried away with the impact that Nick Foles has had, because I think he has had flaws, and yesterday throwing an interception was an example
crazy
of that.
Yep.
I just think the way he's commanded this offense and probably some of the ways that he has helped the Bears withstand kind of some of waves of adversity, that he's done it in a way that I don't know that I would have trusted Mitch Trubisky to do it. And I think some of the adjustments that we, you know, aren't privy to, Mully, you get a sense, don't you, that he's making a lot more of those kind of changes at the line of scrimmage or maybe on the sidelines than we saw with Mitch.
The numbers are shockingly similar. It's not like they're doing significantly better with Foles as the quarterback than with Mitch.
Trubisky.
But would Mitch have ever won the press conference the way that Nick Foles did yesterday? That was, I got to tell you, I could listen to that all day. And it was the exact tone that you need. And it was the confidence that we're going to get better, but hey, how about us? I loved it. And I thought it was great, and I don't know that you'd ever hear that from Mitch, sadly.
Well, how do you think Trubisky did?
Well, I don't mean that as an insult.
And the value of that is intangible, but the value of that is that you're instilling a belief that things will get better. And it's sort of this, leadership is very difficult to describe, but you know it when you see it. And Nick Foles is the kind of leader who exemplifies that more so than a guy like Mitch Trubisky. That's not a criticism. That's just a credit to what Nick Foles has done in his NFL career.
Yes, and you look at the Bears and you look at their weaponry, and all you can say is, thank God they gave Allen Robinson that contract. Oh, no, wait a minute. Let's explain that one. We got to talk about it. 312-644-6767. But first, it's the man, the all-knowing baseball savant, it's Kevin Zipak.
Speaking
with the
of leadership, I don't know what that means.
Scoreboard update.
What about leadership?
Go ahead. Continue. Oh, leader.
he's the leader in his own clubhouse.
Uh-huh.
Well, I first say, would you rather lose pretty or win ugly? I think that we'd rather win ugly. You know, I think that's the common thing. So, I think it tells you a lot about our team. Is this who we are offensively? We want to improve. We want to get better. We want to have rhythm. But ultimately in the NFL, it's about winning games. It doesn't matter how you do it. It just matters that you get it done. If you put up 50 points and you lose a game, those 50 points don't mean anything. So right now we're winning games. We're playing together as a team. We can improve. I think that's exciting. If we were winning these games and playing perfect and they were this tight and we're playing perfect, what do you do? Where do you improve? I mean, then we're sitting here, it's like, man, I guess when we just, you know, play those teams, it's just not going to happen. Well, right now, we have a lot of areas to improve offensively once again, but we are figuring out ways to, you know, score and get points and move the ball and do those things. We can fix what we're doing. It doesn't happen overnight. Offenses don't get fixed overnight. And sometimes they don't get fixed throughout the course of years. You've seen in the NFL, there's been teams that have been bad offensively for a very long time. We're not one of those teams. We're a team that's young offensively. We're growing. We're getting to know each other. We're figuring out who we are, and we're doing it at the right time. And as a team, we're winning these games. And I think that's what's important. Now, we're not going to get complacent and say, hey, man, we're 5-1. This is it. No, like we're sitting there in the locker room after the game talking through it. Hey, we got to be better here. This is what we got to do here. Communication here, route running here. Hey, we got to be able to run the ball here. We know that. I know y'all are going to ask those questions. We know that. And that's what's exciting, because we don't have to have y'all say, hey, you doing this? Hey, we know. But we also know that we're going to improve because we believe in one another. And that's what great teams do. Great teams find a way to win a game. Bad teams win with prettiness. Great teams win no matter how it takes. So I'm proud of our guys. I think we're continuing to improve. Are we where we want to be? No, we're not where we want to be. But I'm excited about our offense. I'm excited about the guys that are there. I like the communication that's happening on the sideline. I love the passion of the players. Most important, they care. And we're bonding. We're getting to know each other. That's football. Like, you don't just go out there and play football. You got to care about the man next to you to make those plays. So I like where we're at. I know we're going to improve. I believe in our staff. I believe in our players. And I'm really grateful to be a part of this organization.
We're fired up about that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. I love that. And David, let me try to be succinct and try to put a headline on top of the story that I just heard there. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Crap offense offers hope. Quarterback points out the upside.
Right.
That there's nowhere to go but up.
Yeah, that's a long headline, but I get it. You're right. You're
well, that exactly was the right sub-headline after.
To me, the shorter message in that is Nick Foles is saying, follow me. Follow me, because I know he's only averaging one touchdown pass per game, as one of the texters points out. I know he's imperfect and has flaws. He's going to make mistakes. But you listen to that guy, and when teams that are having, you know, parts of their operation that are struggling, like the Bears offense is struggling, you need somebody to step up and emerge. And Nick Foles is saying in so many words, and they were inspiring words, follow me.
312-644-6767. Let's try Chris. Chris is on the south side. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm happy they're 5-1. Not just because they're 5-1 and in first place in the division, but as everyone's been talking about, you know, they need improvement, and what this record does, it buys them time to get better, which will be important down the stretch.
Okay, yeah, that's crap offense offers hope. That's the that's the story here.
I like that. I don't know where there's hope in that offense except for the fact that they're not going to give up. But what area did you see reason for hope offensively?
312-644-6767, Mully and Haw on the Score.
Definitely. You know, I think that's across the board. You know, I think as far as the chemistry, you know, on the whole offensive side of the ball, you know, getting to certain checks and stuff like that during the game and things that we may not have even done throughout the course of the week, but we feel like it may work, whatever the case may be. You know, we're doing that now, and we have the ability to do that, you know. And again, I think that's something that for us, you know, as we're kind of adding stuff in, you know, as far as what we like and things that are being effective, you know, the better we're going to be. You know, like I said before, I mean, we're sitting at 5-1 right now, almost at the halfway point in the season. And again, for us, we're still trending in the right direction. You know, we haven't played our best football. You know, our best ball is ahead of us. You know, by the end of the day, we're 5-1. You know, so again, I mean, like I said before, you know, we don't have any complacency on this team and on this offense. You know, so we're always striving to get better, and we're gonna be better.
The best is yet to come.
That's Ellen Robinson post game, and here's hoping, right? And I did joke that they haven't signed him to a contract yet, but doesn't his value grow on a weekly basis when you watch other players in this offense, when you think about the failures of this offense in terms of moving the football and getting it done? I got a lot of respect for Ellen Robinson, and he's probably the best player they have on the team offensively. And then you'd probably have to list – I mean, how would you handle it, David? You probably have to list like five or six defensive players, Allen Robinson and another few defensive players before you get going again on the offense. That's just –
yeah, you don't want to find out what you would be like without Allen Robinson. And right. You are – you know, offensively very challenged. You're not scoring points. He's your biggest target. He's your most valuable. He's the guy you lean on third down. The Bears have been better on third down with Nick Foles, and Allen Robinson's a big reason why. It remains one of the bigger mysteries of this season. Off the field, why they have yet to sign him to a contract extension. It's not something you want to consider short or long-term life without that guy. But, yeah, they need to get that done. He continues to be a big part of the passing game. It's just who is the second component? Who is the other option besides Allen Robinson? Because the answer seems to change on a weekly basis.
We have some breaking news on the score. Breaking news brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Learn more at Indeed.com/credit. And the breaking news is sad and it's dark. And here we are. David, I know you know it already, but Mike Emmerich, the Hall of Fame hockey announcer, he is retiring today from broadcasting. 47 years, 3,750 games. This was first reported by Phil Mushnick of the New York Post. And my condolences, David, losing the greatest hockey broadcaster I've ever heard. I hate the idea that Doc Emmerich is hanging up his microphone. What a phenomenal talent. And, God, I love the way the guy called the game.
I think it's the hardest sport to call play-by-play. He makes it look easy and effortless. His vocabulary is unmatched. Oh. He makes you feel comfortable like you're there in the booth with him. Eddie O has benefited from being next to him. He'll be the first one to tell you how comfortable that is. And I feel bad for hockey fans. We're going to miss him when he is – you know, in the booth for Hawks games or any games, because he gives it a feel. He makes his presence felt and makes it feel like an occasion. So, yeah, good for Doc, though, stepping aside. You know, a guy who is at the top of his profession, but just a regular guy, privileged to know him. And he is one of those guys that makes everybody feel comfortable when they're around him.
He's one of the most misunderstood people.
I don't think he's misunderstood. I think he's perfectly understood. That's the problem.
It's not fair.
It isn't fair. The I checked with Bet Rivers, just looked in on it. The Dodgers are minus 200 for the World Series. The Rays plus 160. So the Dodgers, a big favorite to win the World Series. They, you know, watching that game yesterday, God, the Tampa Rays, they did great the day before. It's great to see them in it. And the Dodgers, you're talking about the best team, two best teams in baseball, despite everything that happened and the COVID-shortened season and all the rest of it. But Atlanta has got to be embittered today. That base-running gaffe, you will never see anything quite as miserable. It's the fourth inning, maybe, and they got one run in. They got men on second and third. And there's a ground ball hit. They get the runner in a rundown. Justin Turner puts the tag on him, turns around, throws back to third, and they get a double play, base running gaffe, and then they eventually go on to win the game, and the Dodgers succeed there. But Atlanta has got to be so embittered by that particular play.
Hard to imagine. Yeah, they score a run, and I think they took the lead and lost the momentum at the same time. You don't want to have something like that stain your season and that series, but it's hard to get past that if you're a Braves fan, because then it just set the table. Cody Bellinger, seventh inning, eight pitch at bat. What an at bat. Goes deep in the bat flip, as epic as the homer. And then did you see, Mully, where he dislocated his shoulder in the celebration? He had to go into the clubhouse, into the training room to reset his shoulder so he could go out back into the field. And he caught the final out, and that's where the ball should have gone. And Cody Bellinger had one of those nights for the ages. And the Dodgers and the Rays are where, you know, they should be. The number one seeds from each league playing in the World Series. It's going to be a matchup between the team that spends whatever is necessary, the team that doesn't spend at all.
Didn't your guy Houdini, the pride of Appleton, Wisconsin, didn't he have the ability to throw a shoulder out and get out of a straitjacket?
Yeah. I don't know how he's my guy, but yeah, Houdini could do that. That's what made him such a great magician.
You loved Houdini. What are you talking about?
I loved Houdini, a big Houdini guy.
Your fondness for him just went away like that.
I don't know. On my magician power rankings, I don't know where he is in relation to Copperfield and Simon.
Magician, you know, draft!
The Cubs magician, you know, Joe Madden's buddy. By the way, you brought up baseball.
Yes.
The interview that Bruce and Spiegs did on Saturday with Joe Madden was outstanding on Inside the Clubhouse. Joe Madden talked about Tony La Russa, said he didn't know what was going to happen. But Joe, I think every time he appears on the station, you listen to him talk, you miss him a little bit more. David Ross did an outstanding job. But Joe's always entertaining, and that was a good interview.
Yeah, him talking about Tony La Russa is pretty hilarious because Joe's like 65, and that makes him 11 years younger. I mean,
Mr. La Russa, like, to Joe.
Exactly. And there is a weird Tampa connection there too, right? I mean, yeah. There's an Angels connection most of all, but come on. That's pretty special stuff. We'll see what happens. No one was hired over the weekend, right? Just double checking on the White Sox. No new candidates.
Or fired.
Breaking White Sox news. The Sox have named Lou Piniella as their new manager.
Wow. That's just mean-spirited. That's, again, played some baseball growing up with Tony La Russa. So that's nice. I like that. Yeah, it's always good when Joe talks. It's always fun to hear him on the station, and it's always a good laugh all the way around. So great to see that. But, you know, obviously The Bears are the story of the day we're on a Victory Monday because they won yesterday, and they just always deliver. It's not just that they won, it's the way that they won. It's the grindy kind of penalty marred, typical 2020 Bears coming out of it with like a mixed emotion. As glorious as it is to see them win, you still have questions about what the heck they're doing and what's going on with the time management stuff. It's the perfect type of victory. And hopefully they will continue to pull that off. And we'll see, since obviously they're huge underdogs, again, 6.5 underdogs according to Bet Rivers, going to play the Rams now. So no one seems to believe except that team, and they seem to continue to win.
Well, they're never boring. Yeah, it's sort of a talk radio dream in terms of having a team that's relevant in the NFL and the playoff picture, but still flawed enough to pick apart and to scrutinize. And that's sort of the Bears in a nutshell. They have a special defense and a struggling offense. But Mully, at 5-1, they have an 83% chance of making the playoffs. Since 1990, 85 of the 102 teams that have started 5-1 have made the postseason, and that's with a 12-team field. So those odds increase with a 14-team playoff field. The Bears are headed to the postseason. I think what we're going to spend the next couple months doing is evaluating on a weekly basis just how deep they can go and whether or not they have an offense that improves or whether or not the coaching staff finds a way to coach in a way that's more complementary to a defense that can carry them.
And we'll find out next if Dan Bernstein is out on the ledge over the offense. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.